The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. And this beautiful Saturday morning in July, the second Saturday of July, I tell you, time goes by so fast. I'm getting so old, and our guest Matt Veach is staying so young. I don't know how the heck this is happening, but good morning, Matt.
Good morning. I was just going to say the days are getting shorter already. It's like isn't it crazy?
Years ago, I would always tell my wife, you know, I used to hate to see the 4th of July coming because after the 4th of July, it seems like you can notice the time getting shorter. And, you know, I work at the track and to mow the lawn and that when I get home at 7:15, you know, I can get about half of it done before it gets dark. And boy,
time you get it all done. Right?
I know, right? But hopefully when they make that change where we can keep daylight savings.
I am totally in favor of that,
by the way. Hopefully it'll work out. Yes. Yeah, I
don't like the time change at all. And it should be daylight savings the whole time. The whole year.
Yeah. So let's hope we go through that. Well,
I'm sure that'll, you know, who knows if you're going to get calls on that one. But that's a controversial one.
I know. But
should we turn the clocks back or not?
I know it, but you know, we only have to do it one more time. But you know, my wife likes it when it gets dark early, when it's cold out in the winter, because she likes that cozy feeling and that. But I like daylight.
My getting out of work when it's dark, I don't like that.
No,
you know, to me, that's my thing. So
yeah,
and you know, if you don't know me, I'm kind of a bike cyclist rider. You know, I go out and ride a lot, and this time of year it's great because I can get out of work and I still have 3 hours to. Go out and do stuff.
Sure.
But in the wintertime, if it goes down at 4 o'clock, it's like you can't go out.
No, you can't.
So what do you do instead of exercise? You eat.
That's right. You eat and vegetate. And I get up like at 4 o'clock in the morning, so it's dark when I go in, and it's dark when I get out.
It's the worst.
Ah, what the heck? Well, you know, talking about biking, I want to talk about that Zim Smith Trail that has taken shape. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So the Zim Smith Trail has been around for a long time, and it's started probably in the early 2000s when the county was thinking about, you know, doing a off-road biking kind of trail. But it's actually multi-use. You know, you can walk it, you can bike it, you can in the wintertime they actually have it as a snowmobile trail now, so the snowmobiles get on it when the snow is out. But so over the past, say, like 15 years or so, we've, you know, expanded the sections. We've made it, we've paved the whole thing from end to end. The first plan was to run it from down to the city of Mechanicville, which is where it goes now. So so right now it starts in Oak Street in Ballston Spa.
Okay.
And it's an off-road completely. You cross some roads, but you don't actually ride on any roads.
All right.
From there all the way to there's ball fields in Mechanicville at the edge of the town of Half Moon, right on the edge of the city of Mechanicville. There's a ball field area. It's Elizabeth Street is the street. But so it's about 9.5 miles now already as a trail that we have. The newest section was done probably, I'm going to guess, 3 years ago, maybe four. The southern end.
Sure.
And it's interesting because that section goes through a golf course, actually right on the, through it.
Really?
And so there's this like kind of section where there's like a kind of a U-shaped like canopy that you ride under or walk under. And of course you see the golf balls get stuck in the fence for the guys who, shoot golf like me really badly.
Yeah. I tried it once and I was asked to leave the course because I was too slow. But it's
really cool, that section. And it was kind of an engineering thing that we did at the county. It's nice. And there's some bathrooms along the way, you know, because it is a long trail.
And it's
places
paved.
To sit, paved
right.
the whole way.
The whole way.
So you can cycle on it, you can walk on it, you can rollerblade or, you know, whatever you do. It's
That's
great.
Excellent.
And we get like, you know, really the counters or something like in the hundreds of thousands of people per year use it, right? I mean, it's you know, all the time being used. So it's really, to us, I think think it's a great success because it's something the county, we've put some money into, got a lot of grants for, and we're going to talk about that in a second.
Sure.
But it's, you know, I think a really a jewel in Saratoga County, the Zim Smith Trail.
Of course.
And you know, something I've supported since I started. So,
well, you've been hepped up on bike trails and gotten a lot done over the years.
Yes, Geyser Trail in Saratoga, yeah. And, you know, I've been part of that. And
one
of some
the
of
things,
ones.
These connect, correct? I mean, is that every, when you put a trail in, is it a connector to another trail? Or
the idea is to do that. Okay. We just don't, you know, it takes time,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, Geyser doesn't, it does connect to the state park trails, which I think is really good.
Sure.
You can essentially go from guys, you know, town of Milton all the way to the park. But when you get to the park, it doesn't just stop. You just go across and there's even more trails in
sure.
there. And all I'm going to say is the last two nights with the concerts, people are using the Geyser Trail because they found out they could park for free at the Geyser Recreation Park there, Veterans Park, and not have to pay. And
they can walk
the whole way. It's about a mile from Geyser Park to SPAC. And so now there are people have figured that out. And so for that, who's the guy who was on Thursday? Wallins or whatever? I don't know him. I'm beyond that age.
Matthews was there.
And Dave Matthews now. And people are using those trails. And they're walking from in town. To SPAC now. That's another big thing.
Well,
so.
You know, when I was a kid coming up here, it was a while ago, and I mean, SPAC had only been open not that many years, but we used to park, you know, where the corner of West and 50 is, where the state building
right there
across from the Y.
They have the DOT building.
Yeah, we used to park on the lawn there, right on the edge of the road and walk down.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean,
to avoid the parking.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think it was free parking back then, but now
I think $20 or $30. Yeah, when Live Nation took it over, they just went
like
crazy
the VIP parkings are like $100 or something like that to park.
People
do it. So
people don't want to walk.
Yeah.
And then I don't mind walking.
Yes.
You know, but.
But yeah. so the real news here is that the Zim Smith Trail got a grant for $1.4 million this month. Okay. To extend the trail from the Oak Street entrance at Balsam Spa to the town of Milton. So coming north. And again, the ultimate plan is to connect it to the Spa State Park. So, you know, I think within the next, I'll say 5 years or so, we'll probably have something ready, you know, either constructed or engineered to the state park. Which then, you're right, it makes that connection between the county trail and the Geyser Road Trail.
Sure.
Saratoga Springs has the Greenbelt Trail that they're working on, which they're building right in the middle of downtown right now, that downtown connector.
Yeah.
And so all those trails are supposed to connect at some point.
Yeah.
And then you have basically an off-road experience if you're a walker or a biker or whatever.
Sure.
It's, you know, throughout the whole county. The ultimate plan would be to go all the way to Moreau, you know, the north as far as you can, north in Saratoga County, because then there's the Warren County Bikeway that goes from Glens Falls to Lake George.
Okay.
And so then you'd have basically an off-road trail from Mechanicville to Lake George, which would be really, really awesome.
I mean,
for a guy like me, I mean, not everybody uses trails, but, you know, for a guy like me, I would love that.
Well,
you know, safe. It's away from vehicles.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, we'll use you as an example. And there's a lot of people like you. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You go when you bike. You go a long ways.
Yeah, I mean.
I think
yesterday I rode 37 miles.
Yeah, yeah. And so. I mean, I know you've 50 miles or 55.
Oh, I've done
miles.
That. You I can do that.
Right, you can do that, and so. You know, like you said, it takes time for the connectors.
Yes.
But when they do happen, I mean, like you said, it makes it so nice for off-road.
And then immediately people use them, right?
Well, sure
as soon as it's available, like, you know, I know there's some discussion about, like, why would you build a trail? And it is an expense, right? I mean, we spend a lot of money on that. But at the end of the day, as soon as you open it, there's people there. It's like if you build it, they will come.
Well,
and,
sure.
You know, Geyser Road was a great example of that. I mean, no one really walked on Geyser Road because it was dangerous. And,
exactly.
You know, some people walked on it because they had to. They had to get to the industrial park that's there. And so that was dangerous for them. But as soon as the trail opened, all of a sudden the people who wanted to exercise were out there, dog walkers, people on bikes. So all day long there's people going up and down that trail.
Out with the bus in the morning, even right. when it's early.
Get
a lot of people that are out at 6 in the morning walking.
And it made an experience for guys who rode school. So not even to talk about that, the Safe Routes to Schools program that they did there with a hand operated crossing light and sidewalks on the other side of Geyser Road that are near the houses.
Yeah.
Now, every single morning at 9 o'clock, I mean, it's usually when I go out and get coffee, but I got it early today. you can see all the parents bring their kids down to the school. And so, you know, I was a walker because I lived in downtown. I walked to Lake Avenue School, and the kids out in our area, let's say our area, but Geyser area, didn't have that experience, right? They couldn't walk to school from their house.
And no, because
it was prohibited by the school.
Well, yeah, because it was so dangerous because of the sidewalks. I mean, you know, and today when they build, I think the regs have changed. You got to put sidewalks in developments now.
I think that's required.
But see, my development right off of West Ave, no sidewalks, but the development across the street they built, you know, not too long ago, they all have sidewalks.
Right.
So, but it is we're a closed development.
Mine
but
too.
I mean, to walk from, let's say, my house over to the drugstore,
you're off road.
Grand Avenue.
There's no sidewalks there. And people have asked about that, you know, that street in particular, you know, how do we get that to happen? And, you know, I've always said that the number one thing you need to do if you're looking for this, is your neighborhood is the most important part. And that's how Geyser happened. I mean, we didn't just like beg the city for money, right? I mean, that didn't work. It didn't work that way. I mean, we as a neighborhood kind of formed a group to come together to work on this project.
Okay.
We actually raised money ourselves, which was that's a big bonus with the city, by the way.
Okay.
If you raise your own money and you do some of the work for the city, then, you know, you kind of get them.
Well, it's kind because, of like a joint venture.
Yeah, because then you, because we did the feasibility study, we paid for that as a neighborhood. Really, thanks to Ball Metal Corporation. They were really important.
I remember that because weren't the Gagnés involved in that too?
Yeah.
Because I remember they were on the show one time and they brought me over to show me the plans and that.
Yep.
Because that was a long time coming.
Yep.
That was kind of a big. Yep. Thing.
But we did the feasibility study and we also funded the survey, which was actually funded through what used to be called member item grants from then Assemblyman Jim Tedisco when he was the Assemblyman for Saratoga. He helped us with some money for that. And so since the neighborhood did the work and we got it to the point where we could have plans for the city, then the city kind of had to do the last leg because that's where all the bigger money came from to actually do the grant. But that's the thing is that we advocated as a neighborhood and that really gets their attention at the city council level, I think I would say. And you know, there's this new grant for missing links is what it's called, sidewalk, you know, where sidewalks kind of end and go to nowhere, like in downtown and around downtown. And that's exactly the same way that got approved as well is. Some guy reached out to me once and said, how do you do this? And I said, you got to get your neighborhood together. And so I went to these meetings and with neighbors from that neighborhood that was looking to get the sidewalks done. And we sat there, we had two or three meetings we said, you got to do this with the city council and you got to do that with them. And you have to kind of, you know, it has to come from the ground up, right? The city isn't just going to automatically say, oh, we got to fix sidewalks. It costs money.
Oh, exactly.
They don't want to do it. Right. Yeah, but at the end of the day, if you start advocating as a group, then they kind of hear you and say, okay, well, we're going to apply for this grant at the state.
Sure.
And then they got it, right?
Sure.
Because it had neighborhood support, which is really important for the state when they look at these grants. So,
well, of course.
So if you want, Grand Avenue neighborhood, anybody's listening, if you're looking for sidewalks, the best way to do it is get your neighbors
together.
And I'm happy to help anybody when it comes to that and kind of give tips on how we did it for Geyser Road because it works.
It works.
It's a process.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a process.
Hey, it took 10 years, 15 years for Geyser Road.
I know.
At the end of the day,
look at what you have.
We did it. And you know, there are other places in the city where this is really important. I think Lake Avenue is another street where there's lots of residential around it.
Right.
And there's no sidewalks anywhere. How do you get to the east side rec?
I think I read a couple of weeks ago or whatever that they have designated areas now that they're going to put sidewalks in. Which is great. I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
We're not the little city anymore. Yep. We're getting bigger and more people are walking and you want to encourage that. And
the new people who come here, they want to see that. You know, that's another part of it too.
They're used to it.
You know, the newer residents that come, you know, when you move to Saratoga, you're looking for walkability. And we do promote ourselves as that. So, you know, it's important to have the sidewalks if you're going to promote yourself.
One of the things that I chuckle about is that now Geyser Road, I mean, that shouldn't have taken that long because of the danger of that road and how it built up over the years and got so busy. But you've got a beautiful path there, right? I mean, night green, you can't miss it. There's yield signs. I mean, it's a safe, and you still have bicyclists riding in the road.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I just say to myself, you know, I mean, it's safe there, but you can't take.
Yeah, I mean, it's legal for them to ride in the road.
Exactly.
I agree with you. I think the more you build, and this is among the cycling community, this is definitely one of our controversial issues is bike trails, right?
Yeah.
You know, there are those who, even in the cycling community, don't like it because it kind of starts to get people into that mindset that bikes don't belong on roads. They have to be on trails and it's not good to be out there on the road. I disagree. I think you build them as much as you can.
I do too. Right. I do too.
Because and even the county, you know, we did the bike route thing last year and I talked about it on this program, I'm sure, you know, where we approved certain roads in the county to be designated bike routes and they're putting the signs up, which by the way, I thank you, County DPW, for that. and so you can now see like this is a road we think is a good road for you to ride on. The traffic isn't that busy, you know, or it's a connector to someplace.
Right. Or it's a little safer.
Right. Mainly in more of the rural towns, we've got them. But you know, there are some in Clifton Park and there's some down in every town has one, at least one bike route. But, you know, it's a way for us to kind of drive cyclists to certain areas and not have them everywhere.
Well, I look down here on Clinton Street when you come off Daniels, if I want to shoot over, I don't want to go all the way to 9N.
Yep.
You know, you got 7 or 8 bicyclists coming up Clinton Street here from the Daniels, and the road's windy.
Yep.
And it's not that wide.
I do that. I do it.
So, yeah. So you got to
it's a nice little punch hill right here by Skidmore where we are.
So you got to be careful.
Yeah.
And, but no, I think, you know, what you do and what the county does with these paths is fantastic.
Yep.
And like you said, I mean, the connectors come in time. You can't do anything about that. But when you build the paths, I mean, it's for walkers, like you said, bikers and skateboarders.
They come right to it.
You know, what could be safer?
And good for us. We got a grant. You know, we're going to keep moving that one forward. And that's really the important part is just keep going and keep doing it. You know, I mean, and I know not everybody loves them and I understand that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's kind of the wave of the future is multimodal transportation. Everybody's going to want to have whatever you need.
I think the percentage is smaller that don't like them. I know my wife is a walker.
Yeah.
She'll go through the state park, you know, with our dog and walk for 2.5-3 hours. I mean, she's a bit, and she'll walk the paths. And I'll tell you where else is we had Liz Trisney on from Pitney Meadows.
Oh, yeah. They got nice trails.
Put nice trails in there. And you know what? There's a lot of people.
It's like 2.5 miles, I think, of trails in Pitney Meadows.
It's pretty neat when this happens for the citizens.
Yeah. That was, though I was in some of the meetings on those trails, the design and development of them. Yeah. It was really great. I mean, Pitney is, you know, again, I drove by it on the way here. I mean, it's kind of doing what they said they were going to do, you know, make it into a working farm and keep it going. And I think they've done great.
Liz is unbelievable. And she's been on a couple times. She's a regular too, 3 or 4 times a year. And it's great. I think what you're doing is fantastic. And of course this Smith Trail is another gem, in the county.
Yeah.
So,
It's great.
Yeah, it is. And the one thing about these trails is that they're well-maintained. And
yep.
I'll tell you, here's another a thing. You know, we talk about skateboarders and we talk about bicyclists, but parents can take their strollers and wheelchairs.
Oh, yeah.
Can go down with their spouse if they're or whatever and go and be comfortable in going down there, not bumping all over the place or having to get stuck in stone.
Yeah, I've seen that. I mean, you know, even people in wheelchairs. I mean, they get out and they walk, go up and down Geyser Road, more on the flat section, not so much on the hill down toward the park. But, you know, hey, it's wonderful. And I've seen a couple of, you know, I guess I'll say older folks, you know, out there, you know, walking. And, you know, just to kind of talk about how exercise works for you as a person. And again, I'm not the best, I'm a cyclist, but in the wintertime, I'm not that good. but at the end of the day, you know, there was this one gentleman who was out there and he was walking, he had a walker and this guy's a road trail. And, you know, he would get out there and walk. It's, I think he may probably only be out there for 5 minutes. Then it was like 10 minutes. Then it was like 15 minutes. And then it was like, all of a sudden I saw him the other day, no walker. Right. So, and this guy's, you know, I don't know how old he is or whatever, but he's old.
Right.
and, you know, that just shows you how exercise works. Him being able to get out and get on that trail.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know yourself.
And walk, you feel better and then you start to feel even better. And exactly. So at the end of the day, he's walking around with no walker now. It's awesome.
Well, you know,
so
cool. It's funny.
So great to see. That's all I'm going to say.
Physical therapy.
Yep.
And for my my back and my knee. And I was talking with Mike last night, and we got talking about how when you exercise every day, and you know this from being on the bicycle, you feel good.
Yep.
And if you miss it for a couple of days, you start to feel.
Oh, yeah.
You start to feel it.
Yep.
And it's like you said, in the wintertime, you don't do it. And he said,
turn to food to make you feel better.
That's right. Yeah. And we're all there. But I mean, we got talking about how you have to keep up your exercise, whether it be walking, bicycling, running, or whatever, because we can talk ourselves out of doing it very easily.
Yep.
But you feel really good when you're doing it.
Yep.
And I mean, I used to go out and walk in the rain even just to keep everyday walking.
If I don't ride my – in this time of year, if I'm not riding my bike like 2 days, like my muscles start to – I mean, I'm getting to the age now where like everything is – tight.
Well, yeah.
And so I feel it like right away, like my hamstrings and my calves will hurt. And,
but I mean,
you know,
but
so.
your body releases chemicals too, like runners. And when you don't run and you don't get that release, you do feel it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So
definitely.
No, so paths and I know the city provides bicycles.
Through CDTA.
Through CDTA all over on these paths. And,
they're pretty well maintained. Those bikes are pretty well maintained, and people do use them.
Yeah.
I'll go buy Skidmore has bikes here, you know, as well that I sometimes see, you know, even out my way.
Yeah.
Where some of the kids will rent them here and or use them. I don't think the students pay, but, you know, you can take a Skidmore bike and take it wherever you want.
Well, the racks aren't always full. I mean, there are a lot of times the racks, even around the CDTA bikes, you can tell they're being used. There's empty slots.
Yes,
And that's great.
And I think CDTA does a pretty good job of maintaining those bikes so they're in good shape when you rent them, right?
Because
always the problem. If they're left outside, it's, you know, we get rusty chain or you have mechanical issues.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think CDTA does a good job of maintaining
them.
They do.
So, the bikes always look really neat, you know, so. Well, that's great, and I know we'll get updates on that next time you're in about the trails because, you know, I know that's a passion of yours, and you do great work. I know yourself because you put a lot of yourself into this because not only is it a passion of yours, but people want it, and, you know, I have to say, I mean, you're the type of supervisor that is good for Saratoga because you really do a lot and you do listen to people. And, you know,
appreciate
that.
I think that's part of the job.
I know.
You know?
Well, you know.
And it's
what?
Good to hear what other people think.
Yeah. It, exactly.
I mean, not all the time.
Pro or con. Yeah. No, but you do listen, you know.
I take it in, even if I'm not, don't agree with it, right?
Selective hearing.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that. We won't get there. Hey, one of the other things that the county is getting into a lot is the 250th yes. Anniversary of the battles of Saratoga.
Yes.
So let's yes. talk about that.
This is so the 250th, by the way, the 250th anniversary of the battles of Saratoga doesn't happen until 2027.
Right.
We're 5 years ahead of ourselves here.
You have to be though. You can't put something like this together in a year.
Right. I mean, so we appointed a committee at the end of last year, actually, and Supervisor Tom Wood from the town of Saratoga is the chair of that committee, appropriately, as a historian himself. And, sure.
And that's where the battle was fought.
From the town that where nearby it was fought. I think it was actually fought in Stillwater, but
right.
most of the, like the Schuyler House and some of that, that's all in Saratoga, the monuments in Saratoga. Sure. So, so appropriately, he's the chair of it. So that was the first thing that we did. But we've actually been putting some money into this already,
okay.
In the hundreds of thousands of dollars range. So seems odd 5 years ahead of time that we're kind of doing a little bit of this, but we're unveiled, a brand already, kind of like a branding, like a logo. I don't have any with me here, but it's radio anyway, so you can't see it. But
right,
but
right.
at the end of the day, we have a logo. We're starting to do some like kind of, marketing type things. There was a big unveiling right around July 4th to try to, get people interested and understand that this is coming. And the reason for that is because this kind of a celebration, number one, as being the turning point of the American Revolution, it's a huge point in history, number one. But number two, because of that, I mean, it's an event that's going to probably have some sort of national level significance, right. if not international, because my guess would be, and maybe we will do this, I don't know, but the British may be invited, to come
they may
have to do that. But at the end of the day, it's a significant point in British history as well.
Oh, exactly.
For their
and
history,
maybe even the French, because right. they were a big part in
right.
helping us
exactly.
Too, so
so,
yeah.
so when you think of it from that level, right? I yep. mean, the county is, I think, probably the appropriate place for the coordination of it, along with probably the state and the national parks, with Saratoga Battlefield being such a
yeah.
Landmark. So, but the county has kind of taken this on as a thing, and I think rightly so. So, so we've already unveiled some of the marketing. We're basically giving people information about events that are happening this summer. Not necessarily 250th Revolution, American Revolution related, but, just kind of giving people, the thoughts that there's things out there to do. Always go to the battlefield. I don't know if you've never been, it's really awesome.
Oh, it is awesome. It is.
It's amazing to see. And I know when I was a kid and we went there, they have these like wooden posts that kind of some are painted blue and some are painted red,
okay.
and they look like the lines, all like right. the lines kind of stood.
Sure.
And to me, that was so cool when I was a kid, like to think that like an actual soldier might have stood there.
Right. And I mean, the land itself is very spacious, and there's hills, and
yep.
I mean, it's not just a flat battlefield.
Yep.
It is worth going to. Everybody
yep.
should go to it.
Same thing, trails. They got trails.
Yeah, well, here you go.
Just to tie it back.
And they do have guides there. They do
yeah.
have very knowledgeable people. The one thing about the area that I don't know if people even think about this, we're very historic.
Yep.
And we're very historic all the way. I mean, we're talking about a huge radius because the area I grew up in, Gloversville, Johnstown area, and the Mohawk Valley.
Yep.
was very big because Sir William Johnson, who Johnson was named, brought his Indians
yes.
up to help in the French Indian War, and
yes.
he got shot
yes.
and used the spring.
I was going to say our first visitor here was Sir William Johnson
right.
from, first non-native,
yeah, exactly.
To Saratoga.
But I mean,
yeah.
he got wounded in
yep.
the battle, and he recuperated. The Indians had him recuperate here because
yep.
of the spas.
Yep.
So our history.
Yeah, the spring was the High Rock Spring was considered to be medicinal, right? So the
it saved them.
I think our springs are to some extent, but
well,
not everybody likes them.
well, they don't. But the minerals and I mean they're great springs, but I mean so our whole area is very historical, and of course, like you said, Saratoga being the key because of the turning point of the revolution. But I wish people would See, I love history.
Oh, yeah.
I wish people would get
me too.
more interested in the history of how we came about.
I want to have a sort of different discussion about that, okay. But,
all right.
You know, I mean, and maybe it's appropriate. I don't know where we are here, but, at the end of the day, you know, that I think is something that we've definitely lost in our kind of general society, right?
Oh,
we have. Is the, you know, I actually was at a, I think it was the museum. They had me come and talk at the state museum, like the local museum historians, they had a conference here and it was like from the state level or the area.
Sure.
And our historian here from Saratoga Springs invited me to come and say a few words, which was great. I really was honored to be there. And this is some years ago, but I said in it that, you know, history today is, you know, the length of the Facebook feed, right? Which is literally like a few minutes.
Right.
And so people's sense of history is so much shorter, right? Than, I mean, even television media did that a little bit, but even then that's a recorded history that you can go back and reference. And,
exactly.
You know, so, I mean, even CNN is doing the, you know, the Nixon, they had that special a couple of weeks ago where it was on the Watergate,
yep.
Right. And they can go back into their archive and find it,
sure.
And bring it back out. And you can see what happened live on TV back then.
Yeah.
So even TV and that kind of media can go back in history to some extent, but today's social media is just like, you can't. It's almost like erased, right? And
yeah.
How far back do you go? You can't really go back. Nobody scrolls all the way back to, and they try to give you the memories and they give you all that kind of stuff. But,
well,
at the end of the day, our attention spans are very short.
They're very short and people aren't really interested in it.
Right.
Like it used to be. I mean, it's like, you know,
right.
I mean, evolving out of everything. I mean,
and it's important. I mean, I think it's very important for people to understand that, to be able to know how you got here,
right.
And then where to go in the appropriate way. And you know, I think that, you know, it a lot of what's going on, I think, today and nationally, you know, and I don't want to get too much into that.
Right.
And, you know, some of the Supreme Court decisions and some of the other things that are going on in Congress and, you know, executive orders that are being signed. It's all about like just handling now. Right.
Right.
There isn't anybody going back and saying like, hey, we did this way back when and it worked really well.
Sure.
And not that we always should do it the way we always did it, but this was a point in time where things worked. And how do we get ourselves back to this time again? But you have to look back and know that.
Well,
if you don't really pay attention to what happened in the past.
Well, exactly.
It's just.
And that's a reference.
It's an argument.
And that's a reference because, we'll get it
yeah.
out of this in a bit. But, I mean, the Supreme Court goes by the Constitution or you know, and people don't understand why.
Yes.
But our founding fathers were such amazing people because they, I don't know how they did it. They had thought about things that would happen in the
right.
future that weren't even considered then.
Well,
and we have a document that is, I mean, it's right there, but you have people that don't want to follow it.
But they were, you know, and again, if you, I was reading recently about Washington and his farewell address, right? I mean, the you going back and reviewing that and trying to understand that about why he said what he said when he left. And his number one thing was partisanship,
yeah.
Right? His number one lesson to the nation as the first president leaving office was don't be partisan.
Right.
I mean, that's essentially what he said, because all it does is create fractions and factions and division, and you never get anything done. So look at us today.
Like yeah.
Look at us today.
Well, you know what? And you know, this is a discussion for, because we keep saying we're going to talk about history.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, today, I think, and I know people may not feel this way, but this cancel culture has done a lot to destroy history.
But the other part of it, too, is that we don't, and I keep saying this to my wife when we talk, and she's listening, I hope. but at the end of the day is that, you know, I keep saying that, you know, people don't necessarily anymore want to do the, you know, the vote happened and now let's get behind it, mm-hmm. right? Or the action occurred, now let's get behind it as a nation. Nobody right. does that anymore, yeah. right? And it's really unfortunate because, you know, again, you don't have to agree with it. There's nobody saying like everybody has to agree with everything. That's not helpful. But when the nation takes, or through its government, right, yep. takes a stand or takes an action, there is no more. Okay, well, they did that, so I'm going to try to – we're all going to try to see if we can make that work.
Right.
With that, even if I don't agree with it, I'm still going to – it's the way the nation is going, so I'm going right. to kind of get behind it, right? Nobody feels that way. And about any leaders as well. I mean, no. you know, frankly. I mean, you either support them or you don't.
That's right.
They do is wrong. Everything they do is right.
Nobody agrees to disagree anymore.
Right.
We could have a discussion. I could be disagree with you, and we can talk about that disagreement, but – when you leave the room, we're still friends.
Right.
And people aren't that way anymore.
No.
I mean, you can't get into a discussion. You get in arguments and, you know.
Yeah, they walk out of the room or they leave or they can't, you know, yeah. or you never talk to that person again, right? It's really unfortunate.
Well, I think this celebration committee that's starting now is warranted to start so early because it is a huge undertaking.
Oh, yeah.
You can't put it together in a year or two and have the expectation of the grandness of it. And like you said, it's going to go international because international was involved in our forming. And
yes.
we had help and we had a lot of countries that were sided with England. But, you know, it's fantastic. And it's going to be interesting to see how it progresses.
Yep. Now, well, you know, one thing that the county does do fairly well is putting on a big event.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And rightly so.
We did one for the seniors a couple of years ago down in Congress Park. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's good to do. That's kind of like the hometown feeling is
yes.
getting people together for the area of what the area is about. And I love the time in history when in small towns where they used to have the fairs and everybody,
oh, yeah.
the whole area got together and you know, and that's kind of gone now with,
yep.
with the modernization, but it's good when you do things like that,
yeah.
because people get together and they have a good time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and it's great. So just keep doing the good work and, you know, we'll have you back and you can keep us informed about what you do all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll start to be more, you know, specific events toward it. And that'll
definitely.
Be stuff that we'll want to probably bring out and get people to go to.
Of course. Let's get into Code Blue.
Because
as we said, the days are getting shorter. And before you know it, the bad weather will be here. And our homeless population in Saratoga, unfortunately, is growing all the time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I remember when we moved up here back in the 80s, you never even thought about the homeless situation. But like every other city, you know, an area, I mean, it's happening.
Yeah.
So Code Blue has played an important part in.
A couple things. So Code Blue is a county responsibility, which I don't think a lot of people always understand, right?
I didn't realize that myself.
Even though it occurs here in the city and has always been kind of run in the city,
yeah.
The county is actually responsible for Code Blue shelters across the state, actually. And it is a state mandate, I guess I will say. Luckily, and we talk about this every once in a while, but luckily this is a funded state mandate. So when we run our Code Blue shelter, the state will reimburse us for appropriate costs for running
Excellent.
It, right? And anytime the temperature is below 32 degrees at night, the Code Blue, it's a Code Blue, right? And so you would open the shelter and the folks would come in, and it's a no-barrier shelter, so you know, you don't have to be sober and you don't have to be, you can't use any of that stuff while you're in the shelter, but you can come in, you know, in any state, you
Not
know,
like
any
some
person.
Of the other shelters that
right.
in the city, you can't.
Right. Like Shelters of Saratoga's formal location, it's a sober shelter. You
right.
have to, you
exactly.
can't be, you,
sure.
you know, and you have to be trying to get a job and there's other things, requirements to be there. But it's because it's a state mandate. It's open to anyone. And so every, say, you know, and really, we kind of don't necessarily run it like that because, you know, if it's 32 one night and 33 the next night, we're still open. We're not, you know, and we appreciate Shelters of Saratoga as our partner on that, you know, to kind of keep it running. even when it's above 32 in the wintertime. But really, it's like from around November 1st to like April 30th is like about the time frame that it runs. So, you know, one of the challenges we've had, and, you know, if anybody follows this issue, is that, you know, finding a good location for Code Blue has been really kind of a problem. You know, they had it at St. Peter's, you know, in their school in the basement one year. They had it at the Soul Saving Station downtown for a couple of years.
There was a garage out off down on South Broadway, I think, in the back that somebody did over the inside.
And that's where it's going to be again this year. It's been there for the last 2 years. And it's going to be there again this year. But, you know, one of the things that we're kind of realizing in the county, at the county level, is that, you know, I'll say it this way. When Code Blue was first proposed, the way the county kind of handled it was like handing it to the city and Shelters of Saratoga to kind of handle. So the city has been really great in finding the locations for Code Blue up to this point. You know, they've done all the work, and the county has just kind of said, okay, that's fine. You know, wherever you want it, we'll be okay with. But this year is the first year where we really kind of have taken the initiative or the step to try to get that location. And so we just had a meeting this week, you know, approving a lease at that same location over by South Broadway. And the county is actually going to be the leaseholder on this, which is I think the first time we've done that.
And that's cool.
And again, I think it's time for the county to kind of step up and, you know, understand that responsibility, which even I think some supervisors didn't understand. I mean, as you said yourself, you know, I didn't know that was a county responsibility.
Exactly, yeah.
And even some supervisors who are actually responsible may not know that it's a county responsibility, because the way it's been presented has been more of a city thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think hopefully with that kind of, you know, I guess ownership role, that the county will also see the other side of the homeless issue that we have in Saratoga, which is, you know, this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, at the outside, you know, in you know, in the parking garage, you know, there's some of those things downtown, and you know, how do we get those folks in a way, get them into a productive, you know, setting? You know, again, being homeless is what it is. Some people choose to be homeless. Some people don't. And so we have to kind of figure out how to handle that first off. But, you know, the county has a lot of resources from social services to mental health and public health that I don't think are being utilized to the extent that they probably should be in the city. You know, for this population directly, it's mainly not-for-profit organizations and those that handle like the substance abuse, and they handle the, you know, the mental health, and they handle those things. And there's maybe a little bit of county involvement for some of the homeless folks who are in the DSS kind of system, the social services. But for the most part, it's kind of handed off to not-for-profit organizations. They call it the continuum of care, and it's really necessary that we have that. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be involved.
But they don't have the finances. The nonprofits get their money from donations.
Right, the resources aren't there, right?
Yeah.
And so the problem kind of persists because of that. So, you know, again, I don't know what the county will do in the end, but I think at the end of the day, recognizing that we have the issue, right, the county stepping up and kind of seeing that now, you know, glad that they are.
Right. It's a beginning.
Right, and coming into saying, all right, well, we're going to be the ownership on the Code Blue thing now with the lease. We're not going to hand that to the city or anybody else. I think that's a good step to trying to hopefully have more county involvement in solving the problem. I think, you know, we'll always have homeless, and we always did. I mean, you know, I mean, even back in those days, you know, there was that parking lot on Broadway between Lillian's restaurant, which is not where the cantina is, and the Washington building is on now.
Sure.
Underneath that, there was always homeless people in the city. So,
but out of sight.
They were out of sight. They stayed down underneath and in the back. And so you didn't really get to see it, like if you were a tourist or a resident, you know, right in front of you like that.
Sure.
So, you know, so at the end of the day, maybe there's some opportunity here. The lease, just as an FYI, if we approve it, because the health committee approved it this week, so that's a good sign. Law and Finance Committee takes it next week, which I'm on that committee, so I'm voting for it. And three of the supervisors who are on health are on Law and Finance, so that's four. That's a majority. So hopefully they got it going through. And then once it goes through there, the full board most likely will approve it after it gets through the committee process. So July 19th is when that lease would start, through April 30th. And so hopefully there's an opportunity there, right? Because Cold Blue doesn't really start until November-ish.
Right.
And the reason we're starting it early is because Shelters of Saratoga needs to prepare. So it's not like we want to just run a lease for 3 months with nothing happening. It's that sure. Shelters has to start to bring their materials. And they got out of there last year and took all their stuff,
okay.
Right?
All right?
So they got to bring all their stuff back. They have to get it all set up again. It takes a few months for that to happen. So, yeah. So doing it now makes sense. But the other opportunity that you have is if they can get set up early, you know, maybe there's an opportunity even in the summertime, and we'll see how this goes. There's still some really background discussions, but you know, yeah. Can we do something for the homeless in the summer?
Yeah. Because well, this is new to the county too.
And it's our high tour season, right?
Exactly.
So being able to kind of have people have a place to go, the homeless that are in our city.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be good for the tourists. I think it's going to be good for the residents. I think it's going to be good for the homeless folks. It just kind of getting the program going year
exactly.
round just makes sense.
Well,
overall.
You made a point, and which I don't think people really understand. There are some people that want to be homeless.
Oh, yeah.
They don't mind that. And but a lot of the homeless have issues, whether
yep.
it be mental,
yep.
drug related, alcohol related. A lot of the homeless don't choose to be homeless.
No, right.
So you really, I mean, giving them just a place is not going to help. And I know, I mean, it's better than nothing, but we do have the resources, and you have to find out how to utilize them and get them to accept.
Right.
To utilize.
And that's a challenge,
it
right?
Is.
I mean, a lot of folks don't want to take the services. They some of them understand because they may have been in that system before about the requirements involved to maintain yourself yeah. in that service. You know, but you're right. I mean, the county has social services, public health, which is actually important now with COVID and everything,
yeah.
you know, as homeless folks, sometimes they don't take the precautions, but at the end of the day, public health is important and mental health. We also have workforce and training is a county responsibility. So if you're a person who is trying to transition out of homelessness, we have resources to help you get a job, right?
Yeah.
And so we have that other part of the county resource out
sure.
there too. So there's three or four county organizations or county departments that can help in this issue. They are doing what they can, but
yeah.
I don't think that they're as engaged as they can be, and that takes resources. And
exactly.
so, i.e. money. So the county needs to basically kind of help with that a little more, as well as the city, I think. I mean, you know,
of course.
I think the city really has a desire to try to solve this problem. And I hope at this moment, I can't speak for the council, but I mean, I think that, you know, everybody's kind of somewhat on the same page here, which is kind of rare in the city, but you know, where we all kind
page.
Of want to see a resolution here, and you know, the mayor, you know, I don't agree with him on everything, but the mayor, you know, spoke at the last city council meeting. I think what he said was really important, that, you know, this is the time is now, and we need to kind of get this closed up. I mean, it's been kind of an issue that's been festering in the city for many, many years. And,
right.
and again, I commend all the former mayors for trying to fix it, as well as former councils. Everybody wants to try to fix it. But, you know, I think Mayor Kim really kind of, you know, I understood what he was saying. And I think we all want to try to get on the same page, as well as the county needs to as well. And I
yeah.
think that's the point I'm trying to make is that.
Well, of course.
We need to hear that message from the city and try to act accordingly at the county.
Exactly. And it's not the same thing as the bike paths.
No.
But when you can have cooperation, and that, now it's not public and private, but it's public and public.
Yes.
So you got the city and the county working together. That's a stronger
yes.
unit than just a city working together or just the county working together.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot more oomph behind it, and I think that will help the situation. And
absolutely.
The other part is how to get the homeless into the proper channels, wherever they may
yep.
be. Because they are reluctant to do it.
Yep.
I mean, nobody, like I said, nobody chooses to be that. And a lot of them don't have a lot of self-worth because they're in a position
yeah.
like that and they feel bad.
Oh, yeah.
And that. So that, I think the challenge is trying.
Look, I mean, it's, I mean, I've seen folks, they've you know, at different events and things that I've been at when it comes to some of the organizations that are around homeless. And, you know, I mean, for some folks, I mean, it really is a difference between like one job or another job, right? If you're making this much money, you're fine. But as soon as you lose it, or something happens, or something like that happens, and literally the next week or two, you're finding a place to live. And, you know, so, I mean, those situations are out there. And so those aren't folks who are, you know, steeped in, you know, substance abuse or anything like that.
Exactly.
They're folks who are working, productive folks who just can't get it. And it falls apart on them, quick. And it happens quickly, right?
Exactly.
It doesn't just over time. It's
no.
A couple weeks, you know.
And we have the resources to help them out.
Yep.
And if they choose
and
to
they need to get that. Yeah, and we need to get them into that system
and
right
the
away.
Bridge, right. You're the bridge to do that. So and I think it's great the county's got that attitude now, the board, and I think it's gonna make it much stronger.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, I mean, look, we talk a lot about the city and I'm a county supervisor. So, you know, it's not just here either. And you know, I mean, there are other villages and things in this county, and there are homeless folks, you know, throughout the county. I mean, it's not just in the city of Saratoga Springs. So,
right. So
at some point, we need to look at that holistically from the county level as well. And look, I mean, most of the services are coming into Saratoga Springs, and that's, you know, again, I'm not saying we shouldn't do things here, and I think we should. But, you know, it does then bring those folks who need those services into town.
Exactly.
And it kind of creates, you know, a bigger population,
right,
of folks that are here because that's where the services are. The Code Blue Shelter is here in the winter, right? And then some folks don't leave in the spring, right? And they come in the winter and they stay. And that's kind of how it started. But, again, everything we do is great. I'm not saying anything we did was wrong. We
with
basically
the resources you had. That's what.
I think the city was the appropriate place at the end of the day. It's really where we should have put Code Blue, even at the beginning. And I think the city kind of wanted it at first, but now has to kind of deal with the repercussions of making that decision. So, but you're right. We're all kind of on the same page right now. We've got an opportunity,
Excellent.
So hopefully we can, you know. Get ourselves to a point where we'll have a kind of a more permanent solution, I guess I'll say, coming at the end of this Code Blue year, hopefully, and into next year. So
then you won't have to start over every
figure out a location,
year,
do a lease.
And
I mean, you know, right. I mean,
it's
doing that for year after year, and it's been really
hard.
A challenge. So
I want to get into the county not for profit grants because that was such an important thing. And I've got the list of organizations that were helped, and it's amazing, utterly amazing.
Yes.
Why don't we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah. So we had a unique opportunity at Saratoga County for with the COVID relief money that came in from the federal government. So, you know, the ARPA funds, as they're called, American Recovery and something, I don't know. but it's the county was slated to receive $44 million from the federal government on this. So we got $22 million last year. We're going to get $22 million again this year, which may create another opportunity, but we'll see about that. You know, infrastructure and things are important too, so we need to make sure we fund as much of that as we can as well. But the opportunity was that we had the ability to do a not-for-profit grant program, which we've never really done at the county in a formal way.
Mm-hmm.
And we put $2 million into that, which is, again, is another kind of unprecedented level of funding for not-for-profit organizations at the county.
Sure.
Again, I'm an advocate of kind of doing this more regularly. I don't know if all my fellow colleagues at the Board of Supervisors feel that way, but, you know, I always felt that the government should have some responsibility to help with our partners, essentially, in issues that are county issues, right? So this was great. It was an opening. The grant opened, I think, in February. We got a whole lot of applications for about $5 million in asks, right? And we only had $2 million to give out. So we made a special committee, put it together. Those supervisors kind of looked at all the applications, along with the county administration, by the way, which really should get some credit here. They managed the whole thing with all of the incoming and all the questions of organizations and all the things that they wanted to do. the administration handled all that, answered all those questions, and kind of helped with the program. So, we just gave out the grants at our last board meeting or approved them in June, and the good news, I think, looking at it from a purely population versus amount of money perspective, the city of Saratoga Springs, we have about 10% of the county population, but we receive somewhere in the range of about 25% of the money, which is good. So we got a little more than where we punched above our weight here on this.
But you got a lot more. I think you have a lot more groups.
Yes, in
Saratoga.
Yes, and I mean, I don't remember all of them from the city, but I mean, there's some really great organizations that got, Bike Atoga and the Military Museum.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a few. Rise was another one.
Senior Center. I mean, organizations that provide services for needy.
Yeah.
The ones that deserved and got.
Yeah. Well, and things like history museums and things, because those are, again, the goal of this was for COVID relief, mm-hmm. right? So you didn't necessarily have to be a social services organization, right?
Exactly.
You could be any organization that was a not-for-profit that faced losses due to the pandemic, right?
Well, I see some like service clubs that provide, like I know I'm in Kiwanis and we do a lot for children, and we had a member that was knitting the caps for newborn babies, and there were things that you couldn't raise money, so you couldn't provide the services to the people that you service during the year. So I think that's fantastic.
Well, and you know, a lot of organizations have big fundraisers, you know, gala events that they, you know, raise tens of thousands of dollars for, and they couldn't have them during COVID. And so their organization basically was, you know, lost for funding at that time. And so it didn't necessarily have to be social services, but we did get a lot of those.
Fire departments. Some fire departments.
Yep, those are not-for-profit organizations that run, and, you know.
Now I have to ask you a question. I was on the Community Development Block Grant for a number of years. And like you said, you got $5 million worth of, and that always happens. We ran through that.
Oh, yeah.
The government only gives you so much money, and it's never enough.
Yep.
But you're happy to get what you get. Did everybody that asked for money get something, or did you have to cut back?
There were some that did not. Okay. And there were some specific criteria, and I don't remember exactly what some criteria that you had to meet certain criteria. I mean, I know one that actually we may wind up funding. It was on the list where we couldn't determine their not-for-profit status, right? Mm-hmm. They were like a new organization that just formed like at the beginning of the pandemic or something. And, you know, we couldn't tell if they were actually a not-for-profit or not. And so we kind of had to hold off on that one, but we may wind up going back to that one because they did qualify otherwise. So there were some of those things and, you know, different types of criteria. So if you didn't meet that, then we didn't fund it.
I know the Rick Thompson Memorial Fund didn't make so I don't know.
There was deficiencies in the application.
I was trying all kinds of names and they didn't go for it. So, but no, it was a great, great program. You helped.
Well, we're glad to do it.
People.
And I think,
hey, thanks for the dollar, Homer. The going away present.
I think that'll get you through about a month or so.
That's right. Matt, you know, we always run out of time.
Yeah, I know.
So much. But we'll back when we start up in the fall, we'll definitely have you back on again. And I appreciate you taking the time today.
It's always good to be here.
You're a great supervisor for not only Saratoga Springs, but the county. And you've led a lot of initiatives and come to fruition. And we appreciate that.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate being here. It's great.
I know.
Thank you for having me on.
And get on your bike now.
I'm going hiking today. I'm going up the Adirondacks to hike today.
There you go.
Right, something else.
Thanks a lot.
Cross training.
We're going to turn it over to Homer Charbonneau and his great show, fantastic music. And I just want to remind people that Homer is graciously going to fill in for me from the 8 to 9 time slot. And play some, we call them best of Talk Saratoga, but they're previous shows that are still important to hear again. And I want to thank you, Homer, for doing that. And it keeps a continuity and just appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Rick. I enjoy coming in and filling in for you and and handling that, and not a problem anytime. And we are here. That's Skidmore College Radio, 91.1 FM, WSPN in Saratoga Springs, New York.